Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Monday, July 20th, and today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, the jingle to start off your Monday, to start off your week. What better way to do it? Here we go. All the parts your car will ever need, Rock Auto. Shout out to RockAuto.com, today's episode sponsor. And on today's episode, we welcome back onto the show our man, Andrew Wade, the host of Locked On Hawkeyes, for an interesting discussion about a variety of topics. He is now our Midwest field reporter here on the Locked On Big Ten show, and he takes you through if we think college football will happen this fall. If it's not, how can we still find the silver lining? All of that and more, starting with Andrew Wade right now. And now, very pleased to welcome back on to the Locked On Big Ten show. It is the host of Locked On Hawkeyes. It is Andrew Wade. Andrew, it's great to hear from you. I feel like anytime I bring on a guest who has any sort of tie to the Big Ten, I need a vibe check. So how are you doing, my man?
I mean, with like the Big Ten or me personally?
I mean, both. You know, this could be your time, whatever you need to talk about.
My time to shine, yeah. Poor, man. The Big Ten. I just got back from Iowa. I spent the last week in Iowa visiting my dad. And I obviously had to drive through Nebraska, living in Colorado. And if the CDC says that the coronavirus is going to be gone in 4 to 8 weeks, if everyone wears their mask, they need to maybe just shut down the Midwest, because it was absolutely ridiculous. So literally like every case, so I stop at Casey's. Every single Casey's I hit, I get a piece of pizza, because Casey's is the most amazing gas station food I've ever had.
Of course.
Not even a competition. But every gas station I stopped at, the mask got progressively less and less. The only time there was mask on at a Casey's, like that were there were more than non-mask, was the Lincoln Casey's. I got in there and there was three workers with the mask on. One person specifically had a mask on, and then obviously I had my mask on because I listened to the CDC. and I go in there and I'm like, this is crazy. Y'all have your mask on. Like, yeah, it's a uniform requirement by Casey's. Well, that's interesting, because none of them are following them the last 600 miles, but it's all good. And then every place I went to in Iowa, man, I went to a restaurant with my dad in Jethro's. If you've ever been to Des Moines, definitely check out Jethro's. Great barbecue, great like boneless chicken wings and really good fries. But went in there. I was the only one with a mask on. The servers didn't have a mask. No one was wearing a mask. They didn't have social distancing. And like, guys, come on. I just want to watch football.
I just want my football, man. So now, Andrew Wade, you have become the Locked On Big Ten boots on the ground Midwest field reporter. So based on what you're seeing, you're not feeling too optimistic about our hopes of a college football season, I would say.
Not at all, man. If coronavirus is supposed to be gone in 8 weeks, that puts us up against the football season anyways. And that's if you're wearing a mask and everyone, no one's just wearing it. I can't tell if they don't believe in it, or if they don't feel like it's going to help, or they just think, you know, and to be fair, a lot of small towns in Iowa, I'm from one. A lot of people don't go a lot of places outside of like that town. So in theory, you know, if no one comes in and no one goes out, you're not going to get coronavirus, I guess. But when Iowa's a hotspot, I feel like I'd be a little bit more concerned about it.
My second follow-up question about your road trip through the Midwest. Did you have any breakfast pizza from Casey's?
So hot take, I don't like eggs.
Oh, okay. At all?
Yeah, at all, man. I think so. I have a really bad sense of smell. And I can only smell a few things, and eggs I can smell, and I don't like the smell at all. Dude, when I was 8, my dad made scrambled eggs. I just loaded up with ketchup, and he's like, do you not like eggs? I'm like, no, man, they're nasty. It's like, well, don't eat them then. All right. And so I never ate eggs since.
All right. Hey, fair enough. You know, you knew what you like at 8, and that counts. So now my second follow-up question, as your Midwest field reporting duties here on the Locked On Big Ten show, you were with your dad in Iowa, in the heart of Big Ten country. How does he feel about the potential of a college football season?
He probably not the best one to get an opinion from.
Okay.
We could go into a couple of details on that, but I think that would make this podcast a little interesting. I don't think he cares about football because of some of the kneeling stuff.
Okay.
So we've had some talks. You and I are on a completely different wavelength than my own personal father.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So as we dive into what the Big Ten announced just about a week and a half ago now, the conference-only schedule, Andrew Wade, as you were seeing this play out, what were your initial reactions?
I mean, it's just one step until they cancel or move things back. I mean, like that's a great idea and all. But what does that actually change? I mean, it makes you a little bit more flexible in case teams can't play, so you can move things around because you're only playing that conference schedule. But you're eliminating only two games. You're only able to move the schedule back potentially 2 weeks. I don't feel like you could safely say we're safe in a two-week period, especially considering we are, looking at my calendar now, like 6-7 weeks out.
Yeah.
So I think we're really just one step away from either moving the season to the spring or canceling. And they're trying to basically just slow play it out and hope to God something good happens and we can actually play football. I do think it helps a lot of the Big Ten teams, though, to only play the conference schedule, especially Iowa. And a lot of the teams because you only play, dude, you only have a 9-game conference schedule. You have 3 non-conference games, yet they have one of those being like a tune-up game. One of them might be a in-state rivalry game, and then another one is usually another tune-up, if not even a FCS team you're playing against. Except for Wisconsin does a pretty good job. Ohio State does a pretty good job for the most part. Iowa, depending on if Iowa State doesn't suck or not. Nebraska, if they're playing Colorado and Colorado doesn't suck. I mean, there's like obviously some, you know, instances where that's not the case. But like Iowa, you're not getting Iowa State, UNI, and I think it's Northern Illinois this year.
Yeah.
That's not going to help you. You win those 3 games and great, you have 3 wins, but that doesn't make you seem like a strong team.
But you don't think that gives a new quarterback in Spencer Petras a little bit more time to develop, maybe see what it's like playing in the big time college football before? Because when we were talking about this on Friday's episode, I had my man Ben Kenny on. We were kind of doing stock up, stock down, if the Big Ten teams just had to focus on their conference schedule as it's currently laid out. And I thought, because Iowa has, in my opinion, the hardest conference schedule, regardless of if we're playing only conference games or not, that if they get into that first onslaught of Minnesota, then they get Michigan State, but then at Ohio State and at Penn State, that's a murderer's row to start off their play with a new quarterback.
Yeah, I guess I should put the caveat in. I mean, like, if Iowa goes 9-0 or 10-0, it makes them look a lot better than if they – or, like, if they lose one game in the Big Ten, it's not as bad as, like, losing in the game in the non-conference. But, yeah, gotcha. You're absolutely right. It would be great to have some warm-up games for Spencer Petras and that group. The one nice thing I will say is that Iowa's offense returns everyone except for Tristan Wirfs and Nate Stanley. I think they're going to rely heavily on the run. They have 2 running backs are Doak Walker Award nominees. Granted, that doesn't really mean much. Basically, if you ran the ball last year and you're going to be a junior or senior, you're probably going to be a Doak Walker Award nominee. But they have 2 of them, so that's wonderful. But, that offense is pretty stacked. Spencer Petras is a redshirt sophomore. This is his 3rd year in the program. Sometimes you got to sink or swim, and this is going to be his opportunity to sink or swim. You got to figure it out soon. At least Minnesota's defense isn't the best defense in the Big Ten. So that is nice. But, yeah, once they get into some of the other games, man, it's going to be a little rough.
So whether it be the different types of rivalries you'll see within Big Ten football or the different types of pizza at Casey's that Andrew was just talking about, life is about variety sometimes. And a great place to get all the parts your car will ever need is rockauto.com. They have great variety because they have everything that you can need. Engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. It is convenient. It is self-service. It is all right there for you, easily done at rockauto.com. Their catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. And when I talk about prices, the best thing about Rock Auto is that their prices are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? It's a silly question. It's redundant. You never should, and you never will at rockauto.com. So go there right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On, LOCKEDON, in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you here from the Locked On Podcast Network, specifically the Locked On Big Ten Show. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto. I think I'm getting really good at the jingle. I think I've really found like my tone and my pitch. I don't know if you guys agree, but I think I'm getting really good at the jingle. I hope Rock Auto agrees as well. RockAuto.com. So we were doing another thing on this show as we were trying to look at the conference-only schedule and maybe have a little bit of creative fun with it. And we went through every Big Ten team, all 14 Big Ten football programs, and said if they only could play one conference opponent, one conference foe, taking in things like rivalry, hopeful outcome of the game to maybe hang your hat on for the end-of-the-year result, fans, all that stuff, who would it be? So I ask you, I have a slight idea, but I want to ask you who you think Iowa would select, and then I'll give you what I answered a couple shows ago.
You're counting in like if you lose this game, obviously that's not the ideal outcome, right? So like you want to balance. Yeah, I would say Nebraska, man. Like that's the easy one because I feel like Iowa has the best chance of winning that. Nebraska is just annoying. You know how I feel about Nebraska. I hate them. I didn't used to hate them. I don't hate Wisconsin at this point. Like, you know, they're good. They don't talk crap about it. They just kick our butts every year, and it's fine. I get it. We're not good as like you guys, but yeah, no, Nebraska, 100%.
Yeah, I also said Nebraska. My friend George Bilecki was on the show. He's a sports reporter in Madison, Wisconsin, so he has a great knowledge of the Big Ten, but in some of the intricacies of the rivalries, maybe not so much, and I was kind of enlightening him on how the Iowa-Nebraska rivalry fear. Nebraska still doesn't want to consider Iowa a rival, which I think is foolish, but Iowa loves to say, listen, you guys can talk about the 90s all you want. We're kicking your butt each and every year, and we're going to continue to do it. So when you take in that kind of visceral rivalry and the fact that at least if the Iowa Hawkeyes were to face off against Nebraska due to recent history, they would probably get the W. I think Iowa would take Nebraska every time. Sure, they could go after Wisconsin and they play a slug it out kind of game. They could play for the Floyd of Rosedale Trophy against the Gophers, which is a beautiful pig. Everybody loves that thing. But I think they would always select the Huskers time in and time out.
100%, man. I mean, yeah, if we beat Wisconsin, that would be awesome, right? Like, that would be great. We'd finally gotten over the hump. We finally beat Wisconsin for the first time in a couple of years. But it's not really fun talking crap to Wisconsin fans because they're just like, yeah, that was a good game. Yeah, you did a great job. Great win. Oh, man, we just didn't have a good team this year. You speak with logic.
The way your left guard pulled right there on that 3rd-and-2 run, that was fantastic. Great trap movement. We appreciate a good trap block.
Some real good runs, real good running game. Really liked it. Real, real boring game. Yeah,
that's good hearty Big Ten rivalry right there.
Yeah. Wait, so what did your friend say? What did he say about Wisconsin?
He went for Minnesota because he thought it'd just be a good game. It's a good Big Ten West battle.
They should win that.
Yeah, I think, you know, both teams trying to contend for the Big Ten West at the top, trying to take on Wisconsin and the Florida Rosedale Trophy. Whenever you can see a bronze pig, that was a part of it as well. So I agreed with his choice there. And, you know, I think the game against Minnesota would be interesting this year.
Yeah. Yeah, so, no, I'm hitting Nebraska though, man.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's Nebraska every time, in my opinion. So, as you talked about, the conference-only schedule feels like an announcement from the Big Ten that they had to do to buy themselves some time. It doesn't feel like okay, here we go, here's a guarantee of football. In my opinion, as you mentioned, it kind of feels like the first domino to fall. So, as we sit here in now, you know, late-ish July, it's July 20th, the next couple of weeks will be very interesting to see what the further updates are. What do you see those updates possibly being, Andrew?
I will say, so Iowa just had a press conference on Friday, and they talked a little bit about coronavirus and the stuff they're doing to keep it contained within the campus or within their, you know, program, and they're doing a pretty good job. So to me, that's pretty promising from Iowa's standpoint. I think from money standpoint, college football cannot afford to potentially move in the spring. I think that would really hurt them a lot. Although it'd be crazy to be a college student in the spring and you have college football, college basketball at Iowa, you have college wrestling. I mean, what a crazy time to be a sports fan. If you were like a student at Iowa, I would just not be able to study. But I really just don't know how they play football this season. When you have like the Ivy League moving everything to the spring, you had your first D1 conference canceling football this year. I cannot fathom they play college football this year.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing it across the board in some of the smaller conferences. And they've actually expressed, which I think is very interesting, The Athletic's been writing a lot of articles about this, about how the FCS and some of the smaller Group of Five conferences would maybe be more in favor of moving into the spring as opposed to the Power Five conferences like the Big Ten, because you mentioned the money and the TV rights, all that gets very confusing if you move the schedule. But the FCS and the Group of Five, they could maybe get a little bit more shine if it was just them in the spring. I think that's an interesting idea at the very least.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I mean, especially those programs have to play football too, because a lot of their athletic budgets don't really have a lot of wiggle room. Whereas like Iowa, they're taking a big cut. I mean, every program's taking a big cut, but Iowa is a self-funding athletic program, whereas a lot of these FCS programs live in the red, and football is the opportunity to potentially get out of the red or get closer to the black if they can. So you definitely need to be able to play football for those schools, and having that in the spring without the big schools playing, I'd watch FCS football. I'd watch, you know, of the subdivision games like that. Those games are still really fun.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it still would be high quality football. I would watch any football right now. That was also the point of the one game conference only schedule. It's like, okay, the Big Ten is talking about maybe 9 or 10 games in their conference only schedule right now. If you gave me one game and like space out all 14 games across the fall, like fine, I would live with one game a week. It would not be ideal, but we have to adapt during these times. That would be enough for me. That would be enough football for me. I just need football, Andrew. I just need football.
I need sports, dude. I watched all of the TBT, every single game of the basketball tournament. I watched every single game. I also gambled a lot on it, won a lot of money. That was super fun. But, like, that was just so nice to see athletics. And no offense to, like, Korean baseball, but I'm not really a baseball fan or a baseball fan of people I've never heard of. So
right. Also, the times of the KBO are very difficult to stay up with.
Difficult to follow along with.
Those are a little nuts. I appreciate ESPN for trying to give us some sports, but like 4:45 a.m. Eastern time is not really going to do it for me. It's not going to get the juices flowing.
Yeah, not a chance. I'm still passed out.
Yeah. So this past week was supposed to be Big Ten Media Days in Chicago, right? We were supposed to be celebrating the start of a new college football season. If they had happened, right? Iowa would send Kirk Ferentz, their head coach, and about three of the players. Who would be one player you would want to see from the Hawkeyes roster who would just be a fun, exciting guy that would bring that optimism for football, in your opinion?
Oh, Amir Smith-Marset. Easy. Dude, that guy apparently is just incredibly vibrant, an excited guy. And early in his career, they kind of looked at it as not focused and not willing to do the hard work. But I think what they've realized is that he is willing to put the hard work in. It showed this past season. And he's also just energetic as heck, either him or Keith Duncan, just because.
About to say, where we go with Big Phalange Duncan.
Yeah, you get some great commentary from Keith. I think if there's one positive that's come out of this whole Twitter debacle with Iowa, it's Keith Duncan being able to let his voice ring. That guy just, I don't know, man, he's a character. He's a funny kid.
Would Iowa bring a punter as one of their three players? Or kicker, excuse me?
Yeah, it's a very Iowa thing to do. Special teams, ride or die, man. Bring them.
All three phases, my man. We got to make sure we hammer down all three phases. Some closing thoughts with Andrew Wade in our discussion about if Big Ten football will happen this fall coming up next. I mean, listen, I love Big Ten Media Days, not so much for, or any really conference media days, not so much for like, oh, we're going to hear the X's and O's and the great game plan and we're going to get great stories. It's like, no. I just want to see these players who get to go to this big environment, put on a suit, look nice, and just have some fun. Like, I remember a couple years ago when I was in Chicago covering it for Nebraska, they brought one of their safeties, Aaron Williams, who was not a guy that spoke a lot in post-practice, you know, press conferences or media availability leading up to big games for the week. Kind of a quiet, reserved guy. But there, when he, like, had the stage, had the podium, he shone bright as can be, and he was awesome. He was cracking jokes left and right, making fun of his quarterback Tanner Lee at the time. It was awesome. Like, that's the kind of stuff that you love when you get to see these kids getting ready for a college football season.
Yeah, I mean, in his defense too, it's pretty easy to make fun of Tanner Lee. I don't know how the hell he got drafted or why he went pro a year early, but yeah.
I think Tanner Lee saw the writing on the wall that Scott Frost was coming in and he would be a spread quarterback kind of guy needing him to run, and Tanner Lee's like, I don't do that very well.
Let's just get out of here. Thank God he had a big arm, otherwise he would not even been drafted. That was ridiculous.
I mean, good for the Jags though, taking a shot on Tanner Lee, who threw like 23 interceptions that year. I mean, I don't think Tanner Lee feels these ricochet shots we're giving him here on the Locked On Big Ten show, but somewhere around the world he's like, oh, what was that? My spidey senses are tingling. People are talking about my crappy career at Nebraska.
I mean, I think even the most diehard Nebraska fan who likes to think positively about the program could not think positively about Tanner Lee. I would honestly like that should be something I should like post, like, as a Nebraska fan, can you say something positive about Tanner Lee, or do you truly think he had a good career?
That's a great question for you. Do you think Nebraska fans would have nicer things to say about Tanner Lee or like Nate Stanley? Like, if you were like, can you say something nice about Tanner Lee, would they? If you said, can you say something nice about Nate Stanley, would they?
That is a great question. Yeah. I mean, I'm not followed by a lot of Nebraska people because usually I just clap back at them and then I get blocked. So I don't know. That is a great question. I'll try to see if I can pose that question to get some Nebraska trolls in my mentions.
See, that's what we miss. That's what we'll miss about the rivalry of college football season. Even when they're not playing each other, just to have that camaraderie, have the back and forth, man, that's what we need. Let us live on social media. Let us have those times.
I mean, as an Iowa fan too, dude, Iowa State, like, they're already talking about how they would have won if we were playing this season. Like, every year there's a new excuse. Last year, like, if we had Brock Purdy the year before, we would have won. This year you had Brock Purdy, and it's like, well, you know, our guy wouldn't have ran into the other guy, and, well, no crap. You know, if I scored more touchdowns than you, I'd win too. But, yeah, no, Iowa State fans already clapping at Iowa again, so that'll be fun for another year.
Yeah, hey, we at least have that fodder for another year. So, Andrew Wade, as we see – the next couple of weeks going on in your head, what are you doing with Locked On Hawkeyes? What are you doing just to try to keep the people entertained? How are things looking, man? I guess we started with the vibe check. Let's end with the ending vibe check, if you will.
Yeah, man. So we talked about it before. I took about a month off. I needed some time to kind of regroup personally, get like some things in order with the show. I was basically recording shows and not posting anything on Twitter and just letting it be. And if you listen, you listen. And I knew that wasn't correct. So coming back, I'm going to have a little bit more social media engagement all along the board. Going to put some recurring segments in talking about recruitment. And we have some good guests coming up. So we have two of the recruits in Iowa's class of 2021 awesome. For a show on Wednesday. Also going to try to, you know, kind of do a recap of some of the big stuff that's happened over the last month, talking about the Big Ten, that kind of stuff. And then I'm looking to get some creative guests on. So not necessarily just as focused on the players. I tried to stay away from the players the last month or two. There's a lot of other things that are a lot more important that they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be in the middle of that. And I don't need to be, I'm not trying to get anything from their situation. I don't want it to come across like that. So
right.
I want to let them do what they want to do and not bug them. But going forward, we're going to have some recruits coming on. Lucy Rodine, if you're not familiar with her.
I do. The Big Ten show. I know all about it.
Yeah, so she's pretty great. She's coming on. I'm actually recording with her. This is Sunday, so I'm recording with her tonight, and then we're going to have that posting next week as well. So just getting some creative guests on, probably some parents of recruits, that kind of stuff.
Fantastic. Tell Lucy if she wants to make an appearance on the Locked On Big Ten show. That would be great. I mean, I'm always available if she needs it.
Absolutely, man. She's a character. I'm really excited for the show today.
Here's also a little tidbit for you, speaking of my Iowa knowledge. I befriended Frank Garza on Twitter throughout Frank's the college the basketball season. I tweeted something about Luka and his eyebrows, and Frank liked it. And then I tweeted at Frank, like, it's awesome to have you here. You are the reason that Luka is as awesome as he is. And Frank and I have a little bit of a friendship, so I'm trying to bring him on the Locked On Big Ten show and just let that conversation go where it may. Let the peacock fly, if you will.
Dude, that would be fantastic. Yeah, if you do that, let me know. I will retweet the crap out of that. Frank is a great dude. Yeah. He is always replying on Twitter, always happy, always showing positive sides of things. Obviously, and Luka being the guy he is, having Frank next to him, it doesn't feel like Frank is trying to take the spotlight from Luka. Frank is just building that spotlight for Luka and being the biggest cheerleader in the world. And I can respect the hell out of that from a father figure. He doesn't want to take the attention away. He just wants to put the attention on Luka and help him out. And it seems like they have a really incredible relationship.
Yeah, the positive messaging that Frank Garza has in anything that he talks about with Luka, but especially in those workout videos that I love when you see Luka doing box jumps and running up hills, and he's like, second half, late game, 2 minutes left, Minnesota, you're in the block against Penn State, and just like going through it all. I'm like, yes, Frank, get me going. Here we go, baby. I love it.
My favorite thing is like, you only have the ball in your hands 5% of the game, so you need to work on defense 95% of the time. And Luka's just like crouching, going back and forth over and over again. Like, gosh, man, I bet your drills are terrible, and I would hate to be doing those workouts. But
Frank Garza, an absolute legend. I think we can both confirmly say that. So, Andrew Wade, the host of Locked On Hawkeyes, I love that you're bringing on some recruits, because even if we don't have football right here in the present, fans always love to look towards the future, and recruiting is a big way for that. So, again, Andrew Wade, my man, the host of Locked On Hawkeyes. This was a fun time. At least we just got to talk a little bit
and
engage, and it was good talking to you.
This is a good entrance back into me recording again. I haven't used my mic in a month, and so it's kind of nice just to, you know, chat a little bit about football, and this will get me ready for actually recording my show too. I appreciate it.
Yeah, take off a little bit of the rust, the cobwebs work. I think, just one man's opinion, you sounded great today.
I appreciate it. You know, I've been working on that voice a little bit, drinking a lot of water. I'm ready to go.
So thanks very much again to my man, Andrew Wade. Check out what he is doing on the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast, a great member of this Locked On podcast family. As he mentioned, took a couple days off over the summer. That's fine. You know, it's summer. There's not even that much to talk about, even if we were guaranteed sports in the fall. So he took a couple days off. He's refreshed, and he is eager to get back at it. He's having some great content lined up, as he mentioned, for you. So give him a listen on Locked On Hawkeyes. So coming up on this show here, the Locked On Big Ten program, what do we have in store? We're going to get back and we're going to start having some fun. I'm going to keep coming up with creative ideas, and that is my promise to you. I will keep the creativity alive and well here on the Locked On Big Ten show. I've got some good feelings about our final two episodes of this week. I don't want to give it away just yet, but I think the Big Ten's most viral celebrity will be joining me on both Wednesday and Friday for two incredible episodes with what I think will be a very, very fun time. So check those out in our final two episodes of this week. And if you're enjoying what you're hearing here on the Locked On Big Ten show, make sure to give a listen to our other conference shows on the network, Locked On ACC and Locked On SEC. They're both doing great things, trying to provide some entertainment and some optimism during these tough times when we're not sure if we're going to have college football. So until we talk on Wednesday, have a splendid couple of days.